turn to hymn number 30, if you would, please. Hymn number 30, let's all stand together. Hymn number 30. Let's sing the second, third, and last verse. For my pardon,
for my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. That's good singing. Let's remain standing for the prayer, please. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before you, we are so thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ and, Lord, how it can cleanse the vilest sinner from the deepest sin. Lord, I ask and pray if there's anyone here today that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray, Lord, that they would come to the saving knowledge of Christ before it's eternally too late. I do ask and pray, Lord, that you'd be with us in a great way. Lord, teach us some things today from your word. Draw us close to the Savior's side. I pray, Lord, that you'd comfort every heart and challenge us, Lord, to live for you. I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, all that you're going to do. We ask all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Has anybody received next week's newspaper? Nobody? Of course not. It hasn't been printed yet. Matter of fact, newspapers are always about things that has already happened. It reports the news. So if you haven't received next week's newspaper yet, I guess we all have to live by faith, don't we? Each and every one of us, we have to live by faith. And that's what the choir would like to sing about, living by faith.
Living by faith.
Amen. That's what we need to do. Since we don't get next week's newspaper today, we have to live by faith. Amen. Let's all stand, please. Let's turn to hymn number 125. We'll sing the first verse, and the choir will come down and join the congregation. Hymn number 125, The Solid Rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Turn to those that are next to you, greet them with the right hand of fellowship. Take our hymnal, we'll turn to hymn number 125. Let's go ahead and sing that second verse, When Darkness Veils His Loving Face. Everyone together.
When darkness veils His loving face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
And I'm glad that the Lord is there to go ahead and be with us and to walk with us and talk with us. There's an old song that we like to sing around here. It's called In the Garden. It's page 86 if you don't know it. But let's go ahead and let's start on that chorus. And He walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am His own. On the chorus, if you could. All right? She'll get to that, all right? Hymn number 86. Everyone together.
And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever.
First verse,
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has.
please, I want you to sing the second verse. The fellows will join you on the chorus, all right? But I want you to sing that he speaks in the sound of his voice. Ladies, I want you to sing that. All right, here we go. He speaks. Fellas, join in.
And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Fellas, on that third verse,
I'd stay in the garden with.
Together.
And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other can ever know.
Amen. That's good singing. You may be seated. So good to see each and every one of you out today. Let me remind you just briefly about some things, and then ushers, once you be ready, we'll come take up our offering after this. First of all, we are already starting to work on our Christmas musical, our Christmas cantata. Choir practices at 5 o'clock tonight. We are looking for a total of 6 individuals to help with drama. And so if you'd like to help out, see Brother Mark Sterling about that. We definitely need some help with that. It takes a lot of memorizing, a lot of hard work, but it's really worth it. This cantata is entitled Maranatha, the Lord is Come. And it's not only about Christmas, but it's about the second coming of Christ. And he came the first time at what we would call Christmas, but he's coming the second time at what's called the rapture of the redeemed. And we're looking forward to that time. Amen. And I hope that you're looking forward to that. And so, anyway, I want to remind you, if you can help out with that, see Brother Mark, and hopefully we'll start in with practices here real soon, and we'll give you a script and a CD to listen to see how it all sounds, and that would be great. Directory Day, next Sunday, we're going to have a carry-in dinner after the morning service. We hope that you will stay. We're going to try to get the pictures and formulate a new directory out of that. And also, everybody that comes, we'll give you a free 8x10. If for some reason you cannot be here next Sunday, Brother Joe was working, and you talked to him, Brother Joe Brock, about makeup days. And I believe that actually some of them are going to get their pictures taken after the service today. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Tonight after the service. And so if you can, if you have to, then you can do that. And we'll have another makeup day also for people that, for some reason, can't be here. And so there is a sign-up sheet out in the foyer for food. The church is going to provide shredded chicken sandwiches, also a pot roast, and we're going to be having, we'll provide the buns, beverages, but everything else is up to you folks, and we encourage you to stay. Nothing like church fellowship, amen? It's good to get together and just fellowship and talk and laugh and of course, as Baptists, we like to eat. Actually, I think everybody likes to eat. But make sure that you come out for that. I know it'll be a blessing. If you're interested in helping out with the newsletter, the deadline for the newsletter is this week, so make sure you get everything in for the newsletter. It needs to be in MS Word format, or you can just give it to me, or you can give it to my son, and we'd appreciate that. And then on October 11th and 12th, we are having Missions Emphasis Weekend. We're going to have a banquet, a missions banquet on Saturday night. We'll have food. We've got missionaries and church planners that are going to be here. We've got Dr. Mark Smith that's going to be here to speak, and that is going to be Saturday at 6 p.m. They'll be showing DVD presentations of the field. Brother Nadar Barati, the fellow that was here actually last Sunday, is going to be back and show his DVD about Ethiopia. I am really interested in what he has to say. He has a great opportunity being raised by a Muslim father, converted to Christianity. He will make a great impact there in Ethiopia, which has such a Muslim influence in it. And so we're looking forward to having him come. Also, we've got two other fellows that are coming, and so you make sure that you just be here for that Saturday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and it'll be a great time together. And I think that's just about all for announcements. Ushers, would you come, please? Let's receive our offering for this morning. Given, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosoms, it says in Luke 6:38. I'd encourage you and I'd challenge you to give to God, because you can never outgive the Lord. Amen? Let's go ahead and let's bow forward to prayer, and let's ask the Lord's blessing upon the offering. Brother Gary Deal, would you ask the blessing, please?
Thank you, Father, for this day and all that's in this, Lord. We ask that you be with the pastor as he brings us your word, Lord. Open our ears, open our hearts, and open our minds to you, Lord. We ask that you bless this offering, the gift and the giver. We ask, Lord, that you just bless this day in your holy and precious Son, Jesus' name.
Amen.
I could not do without thee, O Savior of the lost, whose precious blood redeemed me at such tremendous cost. Thy righteousness, thy pardon, thy precious blood must be my only hope and comfort, my glory and my plea. I could not do without thee, I cannot stand alone. I have no strength or goodness, no wisdom of my own. But thou, beloved Savior, art all in all to me, and weakness will be power if leaning hard on thee. I could not do without thee, O Jesus, Savior dear. And when my eyes are holden, I know that thou art near. How dreary and how lonely this changeful life would be without the sweet communion, the secret rest with thee. I could not do without thee, for years are fleeting fast, and soon in solemn loneliness the river must be passed. But thou wilt never leave me, and though the waves roll, amen. Let's all stand together, please. 143, hymn 143. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Hymn 143. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. You may be seated.
Good to see each and every one of you out today. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter number 25. Exodus, chapter number 25. The context of this passage of Scripture is that Moses is up on the mountain. He is receiving instructions from God, and it gives him specific instructions on building the tabernacle and all of the furnishings that goes on the inside of the tabernacle. And there was a reason and there was a purpose why he gave Moses specific instructions on how to build these things. I mean, it was exact, specific instructions. He said, look, if you're going to worship me, there is a proper way to approach me. There is a proper way to worship me. And if you do it the wrong way, it's not going to be accepted.
Right.
You know, today we live in a society where everybody thinks, well, I can just go ahead and worship God any way I want to, however I want to, whenever I want to. And it doesn't make any difference. As long as we all get together and just feel good about it, and we'll just go ahead and worship God. Well, that's not very biblical. And so I want you to look at Exodus chapter number 25. First of all, I want you to look at verse number 1 through 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking of the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering, every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And so, first of all, it was up to God's people to provide for the dwelling place of God. God was going to have this tabernacle built, and he says, I want everybody to go ahead and I want you to have them give, but I want them to do it out of a willing heart. Verse number 2, or verse number 3. It says, And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold, silver, and brass, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram skin dyed red, and badger skin, and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod, and the breastplate. Now notice verse number 8. And I will make, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. The purpose that God had a sanctuary and a tabernacle made was this purpose. He wanted to dwell with his people. Amen?
Amen.
Now I want you to notice what it says now, please, in verse number 17 through verse number 22. It says, and thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. Now the mercy seat was, as it's described here, basically a flat plate of gold that was actually on top of what was called the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant contained three things. It contained the tablets, or in other words, the Ten Commandments. It also contained Aaron's rod that budded, and it contained a golden pot of manna. Each one of those represented Jesus Christ in some way and some form. And the mercy seat actually was above that, and it had two angels. And one angel, or cherubim, had wings that was pointed out like this, and the other one was facing the other way with wings pointed out like that. And then on top of it, it had a horn on each corner. Well, there was the high priest would have to take the blood of the lamb on the Day of Atonement one time a year, and he would have to go inside of the holiest of holies, and there he would take the blood from that sacrifice on the Day of Atonement, and he would confess his sins and then the nation of Israel's sins, and he would sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat, and then the Shekinah glory, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, would come down and rest upon the Ark of the Covenant above the mercy seat. Now, look at verse number 17. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold of beaten work, shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat, and make 1 cherub on the one end, and the other cherub on the other end, even of the mercy seat shall ye make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubim be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. Now notice verse number 22. God says, and there, above the mercy seat, and there, above the Ark of the Covenant, and there will I meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims, which are upon the Ark of the Testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Let's bow for a word of prayer, please. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before you, we do ask and pray, Lord, you be with us, and Lord, that you would help us. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to see this truth today out of your word, and Lord, use it to draw us close to the Savior's side. Lord, we're thankful for your love, for your desire to be with us, to help us, to comfort us, and to meet the need that we have in our life. I pray, Lord, that you just bless in a great way now. Save those that are lost and encourage those that are saved. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Years ago, when I was in high school, the Lord was dealing with me about my life. My girlfriend, my wife now going on 40 years, and I would go from church to church and we would visit. And I believe that we were searching. Exactly what we were searching for at that time, we really didn't know. But there was something that was missing in our life, and I realized that, and my wife realized that, and we were going from church to church, and we had visited a lot of different churches of all different sizes and shapes and beliefs. I mean, just we were out there looking, and we were searching. I remember meeting with several pastors. And they talked to me about their religion. They talked to me about their traditions. They talked to me about different things that their church did. But you know, not one of those pastors ever talked to me about being saved. Not one of those pastors ever talked to me about salvation. How I can know for sure that if I died, I'd have 100% assurance that I'd go to heaven. By the way, what should it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I think the most important thing that any pastor could do is to confront people about where they're going to spend eternity. Amen? That's the most important thing. Because you know what? We can have all the hoopla that we want in church services, and we can go ahead and have all the praise choruses and all the great choir of specials and all of those things. But you know what? If people come into our midst and they leave without Jesus Christ, what good is all that? Right. Amen? I think that one of the main focuses is to present the gospel to where people can hear the gospel and respond to it. That's so important. And my wife and I, my girlfriend at the time, we were looking, and I would talk to these pastors, and they wouldn't share. They talked about the rain. They talked about sports. They talked about personal things that they liked, but they never shared the gospel. May I say to you that not all pastors are the same, and not all churches are the same. They're not. And they could even be Baptist and even be fundamental, be claimed to be fundamental independent Baptist. But that does not necessarily make them right with God, and it does not necessarily mean that they're all the same. Right. One day, I was heading to school, and I was running late. And I had a 305 Super Hawk Honda. For those of you that are like old motorcycles, I had one of those things, and it would run. And I jumped on my bike. I was running late, and I tore off to school. The roads were wet. They were very slick. There was large patches of tar that had boiled up through the road, and it was like ice. My tires were worn, and I was going way too fast. I was coming up on a stop sign, and I let off the gas, and my engine was wound out tight. And as I let off the gas, my back tire locked up. And my front end went down, and I went over the handlebars of the motorcycle at about 70 miles an hour. And I passed the motorcycle, and the motorcycle passed me. It looked like Evel Knievel at Caesar's Palace. That's how I could envision it. Both of my shoes flew off. My mom found one out in the field about 100 yards away. I launched it. The other one was down in the ditch, and I slid for almost a quarter of a mile down the road. And as I come to a stop, I was looking up at a clear blue sky. And I thought to myself, I hurt too bad. This can't be heaven. And I thought to myself, I'm not on fire. I know I'm not in hell. I must be still here on earth. And I got up. My feet were ground down. I had big holes in my feet and other places also that I'll not mention. I was just tore up. A lady stopped by on the way to work and picked me up and took me back home. As I was laying there looking up at that sky, I said, "Okay, Lord, you've got my attention." And it wasn't long after that we got married, and it wasn't long after that that we got saved. God used different events in my life to get my attention. And as I was laying there, I said, "Okay, Lord, what do you want?" You ever come to a place in your life like that? I hope that you have. Because when God gets your attention, that's when He can start doing something great in your life. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we see there is something that God wants. God, as God wanted to do something in the nation of Israel's life by building the tabernacle, God wants to do something in your life the same way. But the question today is, what is it that God wants of me? What is it that God wants of me? I hope and pray you never go through a motorcycle accident like I had. Why I still have one, I have no idea. But I'm here to tell you, God does want something. And out of this passage of Scripture, I want to share with you, especially in verse number 22 of chapter 25, and I want you to look there. I want you to see three things that God wants of me, and three things that God wants of you today. I want you to notice what it says. After God told Moses, "This is how I want you to build the tabernacle." It was basically a glorified tent with all different types of furnishings, different types of layers that was on it. The badger skin dyed red and the goat's hair and all, just all kinds of things. It was, from the outside, it was not very beautiful to look at. And you know that the whole tabernacle represented Jesus Christ. And you know Jesus Christ, a lot of times we'll see these pictures of Christ hanging. You know, pictures that Michelangelo painted or other people. And they make Christ look like some type of fair-skinned Roman individual. You know, with the golden hair down to about here. That's not how Christ looked. Matter of fact, Jesus Christ looked like an average Jewish man. Dark-haired, dark-complected. He would look like the average Jewish person because when they tried to lay hold on him, he just slipped through the crowd and nobody could figure out who he was. Jesus Christ is a lot like that Old Testament tabernacle. On the outside, it wasn't much to look at. And even in Isaiah chapter number 53, it says, "When we behold him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." And so Jesus Christ, outward appearance, he's not like those pictures that some people have hanging in their homes. He's not like that. He was like the Old Testament tabernacle that was, it was not very pretty to look at. But the significance of it was greater than anything else. And look what it says. As they built this tabernacle in the wilderness with all of the furnishings, it says in verse number 22, "And there, in that tabernacle, there, above that mercy seat, there, above the Ark of the Covenant, and there, I will meet with thee." May I suggest to you this morning that there is something that God wants to do, and God wants to meet with you. The one that spoke the world into existence, the one that allowed you to breathe that air that you're breathing today, God wants to meet with you in a very special way. And let me just say this, all of life is vain and all of life is empty unless you meet with God. Amen. We find that He met with Adam. He met with Adam to command him after He breathed into him the breath of life. He commanded him to take charge of the Garden of Eden and to till it and to keep it. In Genesis chapter number 3, we find that he walked with Adam in the cool of the day, and he confronted him about sin. By the way, that's not a bad thing. And would to God that he would confront all of us about our sin, because we can never draw close to God unless sin is dealt with. We find in Genesis chapter number 3 that because of Adam and Eve's sins, that he took an animal, I believe it was a lamb, killed that lamb, the blood was shed, and he put those garments upon Adam and Eve to cover their nakedness. I personally believe that those skins, and it doesn't say this in the Bible, this is pastor's take on it. I don't think that he tanned the hides, and I don't think he washed them off. I think that the Lord took those garments, and the blood was still on those garments, and I believe he made them put those garments on. And I personally think that as those garments was on them, the blood of that lamb was dripping off of them, and they had no doubt that something had to die in order to cover their sinfulness. You see, he met with Adam to command him, to confront him, and to provide for him. He met with Moses in Exodus chapter number 3, and Moses saw this mountain that was on fire and burning, and he says, I'm going to go check this thing out. And he walked up and he found this bush, and God said, Moses, take off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. And every time we meet with God, we need to understand it is a holy place. It is like no other place. And he met with Moses. And he gave Moses purpose for his life. He says, I'm going to send you back to Egypt. And there I'm going to have you lead the children of Israel out of the house of bondage. He gave Moses direction for his life. And I'm here to tell you, when you meet with God, and you really meet with Him, He's going to give you direction for your life. I mean, more than what any college education can do, more than what any friend could ever do, God wants to meet with you and give you purpose and direction for your life. Amen? That's what happened. When Moses met God on the mountain, Moses' life changed. And not only did he meet with Moses, he met with the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. The Apostle Paul, he had papers in his hand, and he had papers, and those papers were orders to kill Christians and to haul them off to prison. And the Lord met him on the road to Damascus, and he struck him down with a bright light, and he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In other words, the proddings of God. And Saul said, who is it, Lord? And he found out that day who it was. Amen. And it was the Lord. You see, the bottom line is, what is it God wants from me? God wants to meet with me. God wants to meet with you. It was His desire from creation in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse number 7. He breathed into man. He formed him out of the dust of the ground. He breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You know, that's what distinguishes us from a horse and a cow and a dog and a chicken. Amen? Inside of mankind, we have the breath of God. Now, I realize our friends today that are involved in naturalism, and they worship the creation more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They see all life the same. You know, my question to them is, if they see all life the same, and they see the spotted owl and the whale, and they want to save all those things, why don't they go ahead and go to the abortion clinics and try to see the baby saved? Amen. Amen. Yep. All life is valuable. Then why not go ahead and protest that stuff? Amen. I want you to notice that he met with Paul. It was his desire from creation. It was his longing to dwell with man. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse number 16, as God hath said, I will dwell with them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. That verse that we use at Christmas time in Matthew 1 and verse number 23, it says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. You see, that's one of the reasons why Jesus came. Jesus came, listen, so that he could dwell with us. But I want you to notice, look over in Revelation chapter number 21. Revelation chapter number 21. And when everything's all said and done, and this world passes away and the lust thereof, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth one day. Amen? A new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness forever and ever. Hey, I'm going to be there, all because of Jesus Christ. How about you? Are you going to be there that day? It says in Revelation chapter number 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, descending out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And He will what? Dwell with them. And they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Amen. We need to understand, it was God's desire from the beginning to dwell with man. It was revealed in the tabernacle through all of the Old Testament furnishings and by the tabernacle itself, and even in the Old Testament temple. It was manifested in the person of Jesus Christ, God with us, Emmanuel, God with us. But not only was it manifested one day, it is going to come to complete fulfillment. And those of us that know Jesus Christ as their Savior, listen, we're going to dwell with Him forever and ever. And Revelation 21 gives the finalization of that fulfillment in glory. I'll tell you what, that's exciting. It really is. Amen. So what does God want from me? Number one, I hope you'll write this down. God wants to meet with me. God wants to meet with me. Number two, I want you to notice this. Go back to the book of Exodus 25. Look at verse number 22. So not only does God want to meet with me, it says, and there I will meet with thee. And I want you to say the next phrase with me. And I will commune with thee. God not only wants to meet you, God wants to commune with you. You say, well, preacher, what does that mean? God wants to commune with me. Well, the word commune means to walk with or to fellowship with. It means to walk with or to fellowship with. You know, if you take walks with people, you learn a lot from them. They'll express to you as you walk and you talk with them. They'll express to you their heart's desire. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, two of the disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus met with them and he talked with them, and Jesus started sharing his heart with them, and the disciples started sharing their heart with the Lord, and all of a sudden then the Lord revealed who He really was. That's what happens. You see, when we walk with people, all of a sudden there is a close kinship that is developed. May I encourage you, husbands and wives, take time to walk with your spouse. Amen. And I'm not just talking about physically, that'd be a good thing to do, but take time to get to know them and commune with them. And so in verse number 22, what does God want from me? He wants to meet with me. God wants to commune with me. To walk with, to fellowship with. In Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 8, the Bible talks about it, that God walked in the cool of the garden. He was looking for Adam, and He said, Adam, where art thou? You see, that's what God did. God walked and God communed with Adam and with Eve before the fall. We find in Genesis chapter number 5 and verse number 24 that God walked with Enoch, and Enoch walked all the way to heaven. Bible says that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He walked with God so long that one day, and God said, you know what, Enoch, you're closer to my house than you are to yours. Why don't you come on up and spend the rest of the day? And since there is no night there, he's still there. Amen. He walked with Noah, and he warned him of the judgment to come. Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 13, he says, the end of all flesh has come. I'm glad that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. We find that Moses walked with God and his face did shine because he was there and he met with God and he walked with God according to Exodus chapter number 34 and verse number 29. We find that God walked with David and he put a new song in his mouth. In Psalm 40 and verse 3 it says, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise to unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." God walked with Solomon and God gave Solomon wisdom to rule over the nation of Israel according to 1 Kings chapter number 3 and verse number 9. We find that God walked with Peter, James, and John. And in Matthew chapter number 17 and verse number 1 through 5, that he took them up onto the Mount of Transfiguration. And there they saw Jesus Christ transfigured before their eyes. You say, why did that happen? Because they walked with Jesus Christ. We find that Paul walked with God. And he shook the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We find that God walked with John, and John was used to write 5 books out of the New Testament. I'm glad today that God wants to commune with me. I'm glad that God's desire is, even though we are sinners by birth and sinners by choice, God chooses and God desires. He says, you know what? I want to meet with them. I want to commune with them. So what does He want? He wants to go ahead and He wants to commune with me. Did you take time this morning? Did you take time to let God commune with you this morning? To pray? To read your Bible? God wants to commune with you. And I want you to notice Exodus chapter number 30 and look at verse number 10. Exodus chapter number 30, look at verse number 10. There's a third thing that I want you to see. In Exodus chapter number 30, it's talking about the purpose of Aaron. Aaron was the high priest. It talks about here in this chapter the Day of Atonement. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it, in other words, the mercy seat, once a year, with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. Once in the year shall he make an atonement upon it throughout your generations. The atonement, the word atonement, as Brother Don talked about in Sunday school, it means a once and for all. How did you say that, Brother Don? At one ment. Thank you. At one ment. In other words, God allows the atonement, the blood, to be put on there. And that allowed the children of Israel, at that point in time, for 1 year, to be at one with God. When Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, and He's hanging on the cross, and the blood was shed, and He cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus Christ became our atonement once and for all. No longer does the blood have to be shed year by year, because Christ entered into the holy place once. And now He ever lives to make intercession for us. No longer do we have to have sacrifices over and over and over and over, because Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all those things. As Jesus Christ cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," according to Luke 23 and verse number 34, what does God really want of me? God wants to forgive me. God wants to meet with me and God wants to commune with me. But number 3, God wants to forgive me. And we are all in need of God's forgiveness. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. In verse number 10, it tells us there, "And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with the blood of the sin offering." And so we find there that the blood had to be shed. The blood had to be shed from an innocent animal. That innocent animal had to be perfect and without blemish. And that's who Jesus Christ was. He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, according to Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 8. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 10 through 12, it says, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices which could never take away sin. But this man, talking about Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. He became sin for us, so that knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So it involved a sacrifice. It involved the blood that had to be shed. In Hebrews 9 and verse number 22, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And in Ephesians 1 and verse number 7, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Listen, my friends, it's not religion that's going to get you to heaven. It's not some good work of being baptized or doing good that's going to wash your sins away. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The question is the blood been applied? You see, God wants to forgive us. And then it also involves a great high priest. And let me just close with this thought. It involves a great high priest in verse number 10. It talks about Aaron. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year with blood of the sin offering of atonement. And so it involves a great high priest. And it says in Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 11, but Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I'm here to tell you today that God desires three things. He desires to meet with us, He desires to commune with us, and He desires to forgive us. Have you received His forgiveness? Has there been a point in time in your life when you realize that you're lost and in need of the Savior, and you've called out to God, and God has revealed this to you, and you said, Lord, save me in Jesus' name? It says in Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is Jesus talking. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Years ago, there was a man that painted a picture. Many of you have probably seen this picture. It's a picture of Jesus standing at the door like this, knocking. How many of you have seen that picture before? Very famous picture. And he took that painting to an art show. And the judges came by and they said, this is quite a unique picture, but I think you've missed a few things. And he said, well, what is that? He said, well, we noticed that here we see the Savior knocking at this door, but you forgot to paint a doorknob on. He says, I didn't forget to paint a doorknob on. He says, the only way that door gets opened is by the individual on the inside, because Jesus Christ will never come in uninvited. Amen. Have you invited Christ into your heart? Jesus is knocking at your heart's door. Jesus wants to meet with you. He wants to commune with you. And He wants to forgive you. The question is, will you allow Him to meet with you today? Let's bow our heads, please. With every head bowed and every eye closed, this morning, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want to ask you a very simple question. Has there been a time in your life when God has met with you? And there was a time in your life when you realized that you were lost and in need of the Savior, and you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. How many with an uplifted hand could say, preacher, as a testimony to meeting with Christ one day, I can raise my hand. I know there's been a time in my life when I met with Christ. Can I see your hand? I know I'm saved. I've met with Christ. God bless you. Let me put your hands down. Is there anyone here today that would say, Preacher, pray for me. I'm really not sure if I've ever met with Christ. I've done my best, but I just don't know if I've ever received God's forgiveness. I really don't know if I'm saved. And I wish you'd pray for me. Is there anyone like that this morning? Pray for me. Pray for me. How many Christians here today could say, Preacher, I desire to meet with God. I desire to commune with Him. I really do, Preacher. And as a testimony to that, I can raise my hand. I want to meet with God. I want to commune with Him. I want to talk with Him and I want to walk with Him. Can I see your hand? Amen. This morning, if the Lord has spoken to you, as the piano and the organ begin to play, why not take a few minutes and gather around the front and say, Lord, here's my life. I just want to give it to You. I want to commune with You. I want to talk with You. I want to walk with You. I want Your forgiveness. Whatever it might be, God desires to meet with You this morning. Father, I pray, Lord, You bless this invitation. We give it to Thee. I pray, Lord, You'd save those that are lost. I pray, Lord, that You would encourage those that are saved. And meet with Your people in a great way. We ask it in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if the Lord has spoken to you this morning and you'd like to come and pray, the altar is open. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you come and trust Christ as your Savior today? Would you come as Christians are praying? We invite you to come and trust Christ. Let God meet with you today. Let Him change your life like He did Moses, like He did the Apostle Paul, and like everyone that's ever met with Him. Would you come if the Lord's spoken to you? Let's all stand, please. Turn to hymn number 270. Let's sing that old hymn, Just As I Am Without One Plea, But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me, O Lamb of God, I Come. The Lord has spoken to you. We'd encourage you to come and meet with Him this morning. Hymn number 270, and sing that first verse with me, if you would, please.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot,
please. Father, today we are so thankful, Lord, for the blood of Jesus Christ, and Lord, how that You willingly sacrificed Yourself and Your blood that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Lord, I pray that we would take this lesson today and understand that you want to meet with us, that you want to commune with us, and you want to forgive us. Lord, help us to be willing participants. I pray, Lord, now that you'd be with each and every one. Draw us close to the Savior's side. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here that's lost, may they seek me or someone else out after the service, that they might come to know thee and the forgiveness that you have to offer. Bring us back again tonight that we might learn more about thee and thy blessed book. Guide and direct, we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. 5 o'clock choir practice. God bless.